talking about the good part of the Xbox One reveal that just happened yesterday. And there wasn't a lot, but I don't know if you guys saw it, but Jay motherfucking Allard made his comeback. That's right, the bald-headed savior. Granted, it was in the 2-second part of the pre-roll montage that actually came before the announcement, but still, Jay Allard back in the tribe. That's an excellent thing to see. Hopefully they'll mend their fences, their longhouses in the tribe, and they'll let Jay Allard come back to where he belongs. Hopefully they'll reopen up the position of CXO, Chief Extreme Officer, that he had before he left, and we'll finally get some Jay Allard goodness back in the new Xbox. Man, that guy, hometown hero, he is a genius. He still looks good, too. You'd think that maybe he'd let himself go after being out of the public eye, but he still got the makeover image, the bald head, the glasses, the cyber hipster look, and for a 50-year-old guy, he is looking far better than I am. Next good thing, no more guessing. We know what the name of the system is. We know roughly when it's coming out. We know what it looks like, which is more than we do for the new PlayStation. We know what the controller looks like. We know what the Kinect is all about. We know a lot. We know it's going to continue to use Xbox Live subscription fees. It's going to bring in all of those extracurricular type of apps that you used on the existing Xbox Live. So, really, they answered a lot of questions about infrastructure and architecture that maybe we weren't expecting from this reveal. And from all accounts, the system, you know, system does kind of look like a Laserdisc player, a little Betamax-y, but still, it's a box. It's a black box that goes under your TV. The controller looks great. That's another one of the good things. They didn't stray far from the existing Xbox controller that they're using, which I think is probably the best one that they have right now. There's a reason that it's taken the PC market almost universally used as a PC controller now. And hopefully they'll continue to use USB adapters so that the PC community can continue to use their controller. They didn't do anything stupid. Didn't add any touchscreens. Didn't add any silly doohickeys. I didn't even see a share button on that controller, which maybe means that the share function is built into a menu, but it seems that it won't be as easy to hit by accident as the PlayStation 4 share button could possibly end up being. So, I mean, they didn't mess with a good thing, and I think that that's a benefit for the new system. Because that, you know, the PlayStation controller is a little flimsy. The Wii U controller is large. It's not unwieldy, but, you know, the new Xbox doesn't need a touchscreen, doesn't need a rear touch, so they didn't make any bad mistakes. I mean, in the future, you'll probably get a controller with a touchscreen, but that's a few years down the line. The next improvement, good, improved Kinect. That thing can detect your heartbeat based on the fluctuations of the pigment of your skin. If that is not nightmare-inducing, I don't know what is. I think it's going to see through your clothes. It's going to post nudes of you on Facebook. It's always watching, always listening. And at least according to the presentation they showed, it looked really good. It looked like it responded well to voice and motion commands, which is more than you could say for the original Kinect. I enjoyed the original Kinect a lot more than I think most people did, but still, it definitely had its shortcomings. And it's good to see that maybe this is the Kinect that should have been the original one, you know? They definitely cut out a lot of tech from the original Kinect, and I feel like they were almost certainly holding back for this this technology that's in a new one. So it's going to have improved range, improved scope, improved performance, and I think that is... If you're going to get a Kinect mandatory in the box, at least it's a good Kinect. And finally, the next good thing I have written down is they didn't show a lot of games. which we'll get to later. But they did say they have at least 15 new titles to show at E3 in a couple weeks. And of those 15, 8 of them will be new IPs. And they showed one, which was the new Remedy game, Quantum Break, which is positioned as being a crossover TV game, which sounds a lot like the Defiance game that just came out. So, you know, that'll go how it goes, but Remedy has good track record when it comes to games, Max Payne, Alan Wake, stuff like that. The demo they showed was not mind-blowing. It was a lot of CG. It was a ship crashing into a bridge, and then there was a girl and a teddy bear. You know, I honestly don't know why they chose that game. I guess that was their one pitch to the hardcore enthusiast game people who were watching, but you know, 8 new IPs at E3, I think that is something to watch out for. So there's always the dawn of a new generation is always the best time to launch a new IP. Gears of War that way, Halo on the original Xbox. So if they can, you know, if 4 of these 8 new IPs are successful enough to spawn sequels, I think that will be a massive success. And that is what I have for good. Next up, we have the bad of the Xbox One reveal coming up right after this. Xbox One reveal. There was, you know, quite a bit of bad in this reveal, unfortunately, but I don't want to get too harsh, but here we go. One, way too much emphasis on sports. Like, holy shit. I like sports more than most of the other guys at this site, but sports is not a major reason people come to your console, and the fact that they spent so much time of this hour-long presentation talking about sports was just proof that they were pandering too much to the Spike TV community and were just kind of tone-deaf to the people who were watching this that are video game enthusiasts. Apparently they signed some kind of $400 million deal with NFL, which is going to give the coaches on the sidelines Surface tablets, which is great, I guess. I don't really see what that does for Xbox, but you're going to have access to all your fantasy sports stats and all kinds of stuff on the new Xbox, so I mean, I guess that's cool, but you don't reveal a console knowing that you're going to have all the video game enthusiasts watching you and spend half hour of your hour time talking about sports. That is just, you are throwing fuel on the fire of angry nerds on the internet at that point. Kind of on the same point, the next bad is throwing way too much support behind cable TV to the point where it's just odd. Cable TV is dying. I am in my 20s. I know a lot of people, maybe the majority of people I know, that don't have cable TV because it's just such a dinosaur at this point. Prices are too high, performance is lacking, and people watch their stuff on the internet now. The Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Video. I mean, who watches cable TV and, you know, live? It's just, that's something our parents do, and parents are not the market that Xbox should be shooting for. So, I mean, yeah, it's cool that they have all this HDMI pass-through for the Xbox One to act as your new cable box, but I mean, I don't care that I can pause a session in Gears of War and go pop out to watch The Big Bang Theory. I mean, I don't, who does that appeal to? who is living the kind of life where they're playing a game and all of a sudden they have to watch fucking Price is Right? I mean, it's the kind of thing that you just, you get the sense that they did it just to do it, and I don't know, that seems like such an American-centric thing too, for all the time they spent on it. So, I mean, if you're not in America, you don't have Time Warner, Comcast, the major cable networks, I assume you're screwed. I assume that you are not going to get any use out of this TV deal. So, again, spending so much time talking about cable TV, how much easier it is to switch between games and TV and the internet. Like, what kind of life are you leading where you don't have a phone on you to check your email or your websites while you're watching TV? Like, Xbox is trying to solve problems that don't exist, and it's hurting their message overall. And the next bad I had is that every single game footage that they showed was all pre-rendered, and there wasn't that much. There was a Forza trailer, which was maybe a minute long, and it was just full of super zoom-ins on car models, which didn't look that much better than the car models that are already in the current generation games. And it's Forza. I mean, this is the fifth numbered Forza, and it's the sixth actual Forza, if you count for Forza Horizon. So, I mean, yeah, car models are impressive, and that's kind of the go-to thing to show off your new system, but why? EA Sports was given, again, the sports, they were given a massive chunk of time of the hour-long presentation, probably 10 minutes, and they showed off their new Ignite engine, which makes their games more sports than all the other games, I guess. They showed off UFC, FIFA, NBA, something else, and I don't know, but it looked almost identical to what they have now. And to be honest, EA Sports has been getting trounced by 2K lately, so I don't know if a new proprietary engine is the kind of thing that's going to save EA Sports games, because I think their problems are far different than not having a cool catch name to go in their games. I think that what they showed looked fine as a sports game, but again, I don't know that that's the kind of thing that you have in a console reveal to kind of show off your new system. It seemed like the kind of thing that you would throw up at the end of an E3 presentation as a also coming soon kind of thing. I don't know. And last but not least, we are going to take a look at the ugly parts of the Xbox One reveal coming up next. Hold on to your seats. Is a girl, someone that cares enough about me that she refuses to react when I act like I don't care about her. Ice packs for my shyness, value for my nerves. Someone smart enough to put me back together, or dumb enough and simple and slate. It's still debatable. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask for? Everybody on the internet is talking about that presentation was the shits. It was the running shits. It was an hour of content that maybe had 15 minutes worth of good stuff to show. One, the name sucks. It's crap. The name is rubbish. That name was market tested to death to the point where it doesn't make any sense. Why would you call it the Xbox One? There already was an Xbox One. that is going to do nothing but confuse the grandmas, the parents who are going to buy this thing at Christmas. And it is search engine nightmare. It is terrible. There's no abbreviation to it. Your abbreviation is either XBone, XO, X1, Zone. It is almost the worst name that I think I've heard. I think Xbox Infinity would have been fine. Xbox Horizon would have been good. Xbox 3. Nextbox. Xbox Future. I mean, anything. Any of these stupid names are better than Xbox One. So, I usually, you know, I think that it's kind of stupid to complain about console names, but I think when something is as poor as the name Xbox One, I think there's something to people's outrage of how utterly stupid this name is. And it probably won't be a big deal in the long run, but for right now, Xbox One is a terrible, terrible name. Next, backwards compatibility, in that there is none. All those games that you bought, all the Xbox Live games you bought, all the Xbox indie games you bought, none of those are going to transfer over based on what they're saying right now. It makes sense because the architecture in the systems is different. I get that. You can't be backwards compatible all the time, but just, I mean, throw people a bone and at least let them bring over some of their arcade games or something. I mean, it's got to be trivial to emulate some of that stuff. Unreal Engine stuff. I mean, how easy can that be to emulate? But, you know, so I guess you're going to have to hold on to your bulky 360 if you want to play Red Dead Redemption or BioShock Infinite after the new system comes out, which is, as them positioning this as the one box that you need in your living room, the fact that you are going to have to keep another big bulky box in your living room in order to play the library you've already built up is kind of going against their message and is a bit of a problem in, you know, the first year of the console's release. As the generation wears on, backwards compatibility is not that big of a deal, but I mean, I know some people who spent thousands of dollars on Xbox arcade games, and having that stuff locked to a older, previous generation system is just, I'm sure it's going to be just a logistical nightmare for some people to keep all this stuff hooked up. Kind of on the same wavelength, kind of not, but at least another ugly is used games, previous owned games, and the sort of doublespeak that Microsoft has been presenting in regards to them since the presentation yesterday. Some Xbox official channels are saying that it will allow you to play pre-owned games and you can buy all your friends' games as long as you're signed into your profile on that system as you're playing. Some people are saying that there will be a fee for playing a used game, and I've even heard some people are suggesting that the fee associated with playing a pre-owned game will be retail price, which means if your buddy buys a copy of GTA 6, finishes it, gives it to you, sells it to you for $15, and then you want to play on your system, you're probably possibly looking at a fee of $50 to play that on your system under your profile, which is just absolute nightmare for GameStop, Redbox, GameFly, a lot of the retail partners. And I don't know if it's short-sightedness on Microsoft's part or just that they don't care, but used games make up a big part of, you know, gaming culture. It always has. Ever since we were little kids, we would pass around our NES tapes. And, you know, even this generation, I've borrowed a lot of stuff from Adam and Pat and, you know, bought games secondhand from them. Games that I wouldn't buy otherwise, but, you know, for $15, I'll, you know. I just went to Target the other day and I bought Need for Speed Hot Pursuit and Max Payne 3 for $12 a piece. And those were games that I probably would not pay $60. I didn't pay $60 for when they first came out, but, you know, a used game at a fraction of the price is something that is, you know, works for me and my income bracket. And knowing that used games are, if not a thing of the past, and it's something that's going to require a lot of hoops to jump through on the new systems is just the worst. And it possibly could be the thing that breaks the camel's back with the Xbox One. You're going to get a lot of pissed off retailers. You're going to get a lot of disappointed younger kids who can't afford new games all the time. And I think if one thing has the opportunity to just sabotage the Xbox One, it is possibly their just audaciousness at suggesting that people should pay full price for a used game. That could not be the case. That is speculation based on things that official Microsoft channels have said so far, but even just putting that message out there so close to reveal and having the media go run with that story is not doing Microsoft any favors. So I mean, if that doesn't end up being the case, it'll be, I guess, a positive thing. But at this point, it looks like that there's definitely going to be some sort of fee associated with used games, and that will only do more harm than good in the long run, I think. And yeah, that's pretty much what I got to say about the Xbox One reveal. Leave some comments about what you guys thought. Post on our Facebook, facebook.com/knowngriefers, twitter.com/known_griefers, twitter.com/clindendahl is me. And let me know what you guys thought. Thanks. Bye.